Greetings and welcome to the IOMSN Town Hall Discussions on Facing the Challenges in Managing Holiday Stress. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Ms. Lori Mayer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Manny. Good evening, everyone. My name is Lori Mayer, and I'm Director of the Medical Research Services for the MS Clinic of Central Texas. And on behalf of the IOMSN and as co-chair for this program, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Town Hall Discussion, December, entitled Facing the Challenges in Managing Holiday Stress. These educational sessions are held by telephone on the second Monday of each month, and each discussion is led by an IOMSN member who speaks on a selected topic for about 15 minutes, which then is followed by an open discussion limited to 1 hour. We would like to acknowledge and show our appreciation to Novartis Pharmaceuticals for supporting the project through an unrestricted grant. Now, tonight, I would like to introduce our speaker. This is Dottie Pohl, and I'll tell you a little bit about Dottie. She serves as a clinical coordinator of the Comprehensive MS Center of the Department of Neurology at the University of Pennsylvania Health System, and she's been in nursing for over 45 years that she has experience. She has also been very involved in neurological research since 1982. Her current role includes research, clinical practice, and community outreach. She also is a resource for the MS Society as a member of the Healthcare Advisory Committee. She's a member of their Business Advisory Committee and a part of the highly successful program called WAMS, Women Against MS. And she has been on several speaker bureaus and advisory boards to industry, and she's very active in not-for-profit organizations such as the MS Association of America and the MS Foundation. She is actually one of the original founding members of the IOMS Board of Directors, and currently she is chairperson for the membership committee. So I would like to welcome Dottie tonight, and her talk is on, stress. facing the challenges in managing holiday stress, which is very appropriate for this time of season. So, Dottie, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lori, for that warm welcome. And I apologize to anyone who has to hear my voice tonight because I have a terrible cold. And when I was preparing this on holiday stress, I kept coming up with the uncertainty and facing the unexpected. And boy, did I get that in full measure when I got a bad cold. But the other reason I apologize is I just learned that the Country Music Awards are on tonight. You could be hearing wonderful music tonight instead of this creaky old voice. But when we were talking about the topic of, the most wonderful time of the year, I was reminded that my Welsh friends use the word wonderful a little differently than we do. They would say somebody had a wonderful pain. And I guess it's that essence of the best and the worst that can also be relevant to the holidays. And then just the other day, I saw a picture of some youngsters, maybe a little five-year-old girl and little twin boys, maybe 2 years old, one on either side of her, and they were getting their holiday picture taken, and each had a letter, J-O-Y, which would have been a darling. In fact, what makes it memorable is every one of the kids was screaming. They were howling. They were so miserable. And unfortunately, that can be sort of the yin and yang of this this time of year. So in preparing, and Lori will take care of a list of references that you can go to, I looked at some popular medium and then decided, well, I'm not going to give you what you can read in Oprah and the popular magazines, but I did find some things in medical literature And then articles on stress, and particularly caregiver stress, and then healing places, and also the website for the MS Society. So there's lots of good stuff out there if you want to get into the topic in more depth. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'd like to talk about what I would say to patients about dealing with the holidays and this time of year, talk about stress in general, what it is, and then what makes the holidays so stressful, the cultural, the spiritual variations, but what makes it stressful for people with MS, for loved ones of people with MS, or we often call care partners or caregivers, and then also for healthcare professionals, but primarily nurses. So I'd also like to throw out some suggestions for surviving the holidays intact and even enjoying them. And if I don't get back to it, hopefully you'll remind me of talking of the gifts of the Magi, also known as the wise men, you know, and maybe a few pointers on safety this time of year. But to start, I'd like you to begin to think of some of the complex odds and ends of the holidays. We often in MS say that MS is a marathon, not a sprint. Well, with holiday and the stresses of it, I'd like you to think about it being more of a labyrinth, not a maze. Because so often we feel like a rat on a maze. So let's think in terms of labyrinth and how to approach it in a systematic and meditative way. And then I do hope when we open this for questions afterward that we can get personal, that maybe it will trigger a thought or a memory in you that you'd like to share, maybe from your professional life or personal life, about how you dealt with holiday stress. So, you know, the word wonderful, it can be wonderful for all of us, but we must also consider cultural diversity. You know, for some people, it's a great holiday, but for others, it's a painful holiday. So I'd like to talk a little bit when it is your holiday and when it isn't your holiday, when you're maybe away from home or in a different culture, and also what the joys and stresses of the holiday can be. You know, on a personal level, there's that spirit of gifting and giving and common cause and connections with family. Memories can be idealized, or it can bring back painful memories of loved ones lost and sort of the empty places around the table. And our expectations. You know, we have this idea this should be the best holiday ever, or that we come up with an absolutely perfect gift. And then the holidays can also mean an expectation to receive. So we have maybe a spot in our heart where we're looking to get that perfect gift or to receive that loving, and sometimes that can be a disappointment. So just the idea of having a loving time may point out if there is no community or family to connect with or not. And sometimes it can be just the opposite. It can be, oh my goodness, people I don't deal with any other time of year. And I really have to now. and then from a professional standpoint, as nurses particularly, we have more work to do with fewer people to do it. It's hard to get resources over the holidays. Referrals that you might make without too much trouble other times of year can be enormously difficult. We also have the extra burden of extra expenses, gifts, parties, and charity, and everybody's looking to buy toys or do things or to work in soup kitchens, etc. And then the lifestyle excesses. I mean, we have to mention the company parties, and although I haven't been to one where anyone danced with lampshades on their head, that image does come to mind. So what I'd like to do, though, is to shift now just to talk a little bit about what I say to patients, because patients have the added pressure of chronic illness. And when you superimpose the normal societal pressures and then add autoimmune disease, and autoimmune disease, 70 to 75% of women in the U.S. Would be diagnosed with a well, 70-75% are women, and that includes diseases like arthritis and lupus and MS. But the number one symptom is fatigue. And we're talking about a time of year where there's already enormous fatigue, perhaps compromised mobility, family strains, and then the temptations like excessive eating and drinking and maybe limited travel or travel made more difficult by weather changes, extreme hot and cold. So just at a time where you need your energy and you need your harmony and a good diet is a time that you're coming up really feeling quite empty. So combine that with unrealistic expectations, or maybe the events of the year have left you with a heightened vulnerability. I know that certainly was the case for me one year when, although the incident occurred in the winter, I already was thinking about the following Christmas. And I even chose a password for the next Christmas because I knew that was going to be so different with key people in my life being missing. So it can, just even unconsciously, the holidays can be really a very, very volatile time. And I'd also like to introduce the thought of the effect on caregivers. I reference a piece on caregiver stress by Dr. Miriam Franco, where she quotes that 30% of people with MS require care, and 80% of the care these people get comes from family and caregiver family members for their caregiving. So if you think about the stresses of the holidays and then the stress of caring for someone with a chronic illness as well, you can see that it can be a time of getting out of balance where material expectations can be a real problem. Now, some cultures celebrate for multiple days. So Hanukkah is ongoing now. That's an 8-day celebration. In the UK, there's the 12 days of Christmas. Well, if you're celebrating Christmas, you get one day. You know, I mean, yes, you could say there's the holiday season, et cetera, but we try to really pack everything into a very short period of time, and that in itself can be stressful. So when I'm talking with patients, I try to keep a perspective of the yin and the yang, the feasts and the stress, the gifts and the sadness, the joy and the struggle. It's a time of plenty, but also a time of great need. So we have all this contrast. So with the expectation to make it the best, to make good memories, we also have good memories. So there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. For patients, often tell me they think about what life was like before the MS and what it is in the present, and then maybe thinking ahead to the future. And that can be a heavy emotional burden. So let's talk just a few minutes about the difference between holiday blues, seasonal affect disorder, and actually clinical depression, because all have elements of managing emotions and expectations. But the blues are temporary. They usually resolve after the holidays. It could be just a feeling of loneliness or sadness, or maybe feeling a bit isolated, a little left out, which is always sad because very often people with MS say they get the invitations, but they turn them down for a lot of reasons. One of the causes could be stress. Can be adding MS to the other stresses. Part of it can be fatigue, you know, just as the extra things put on a person's plate, or unrealistic expectations again. Just the memories or a vision of how it should look are at odds with the reality of living with MS. So the unrealistic expectations, that can be for the patient and the family. And it can also be related to financial expenses. The day-to-day just of meds and maybe decreased income of having job changes or lost a job, and then adding the extra costs of the holiday. And then there can be a blues about an inability to be with family and friends. They could be mobility. It could be unable to afford a trip to be with family or the stamina to be with family. So the level of physical health and cost can also be part of it. And, of course, death, you know, grieving over the holidays can be particularly painful. Now, that's very different from major depressive disorders, and an audience like this I know is very familiar. It's similar, but much deeper, and unfortunately, depression depression is common in MS. Over 50% of people with MS have had some experience with depression. And you all know the signs that help is needed, whether they be sadness, emptiness, irritability, tearfulness, inability to perform daily functions, loss of pleasure, weight loss or gain, or change in appetite, can really make an enormous burden on the person and their family. It can also dovetail with other MS symptoms and make it a little hard to sort out. So as nurses, we are mindful and we must ask questions. If a person has, even just explaining a loss of energy and a lost feeling or feeling less than inadequate or having morbid thoughts. And, of course, we need to be aware of any plans for suicide. We have to be safety first. And I will mention it several times tonight, but there is a 24/7 hotline through the MS Society that we can refer our patients to. And I strongly encourage that, 1-800-273-TALK. So we know even over the holidays when resources for referral may be slight that this will be available to folks. So we're going to talk about stress and just what is stress. You know, we throw that word around so much. You can have good stress, eustress, or bad stress, de-stress. And I read a Dr. Harry Levinson who speaks of all change is loss and all loss must be mourned. So even good change, like the joys of the holiday, have to be accepted as change, and that can be a bit disruptive. So in the holidays, you know, our routines go out the window, and we tread that fine line between past, present, and future. So while positive stress compels us to action and gives us new awareness and new perspectives and can lead to growth and development, negative stress leads to feelings of distrust and anger, even depression, unworthiness or hopelessness, and can lead to health problems like headaches, stomach problems, rashes, etc., and even just plain old grumpiness, you know. But stress is wear and tear on our bodies as we adjust to change. So with common stressors, like having a chronic illness, you add to it that level of uncertainty and unpredictability, then that invisible aspect of MS. But you look good, like, what's the problem? And then the visible stigma of handicap for people whose body image may be compromised with progressive disability. So it's a readjusting and adjusting to changes, whether they be the material, the financial, or even cognitive changes where personality may be affected or the ability to perform tasks in past very easily managed. So we can have change in focus or concentration or memory, and that can affect relationships. So the holidays themselves can become a whole new game from what a person experienced in the past. So one of the best suggestions I found was the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T. Don't let yourself get too hungry, H, angry, A, lonely, L, and T, tired. So, HALT. We can acknowledge our feelings that everybody's supposed to be happy. Okay, you can't be jolly 24/7. To take control of feelings, even feelings like anger or sadness, that, you know, okay, that may not be what I want, but that's how I feel right now. And then be careful to be honest, because you can ask and reach out for what you want and need and share that with others. But remember, those people have needs too. And reciprocate. Maybe say what would help you, but then think about and ask what would help them and be willing to meet loved ones part way. To be realistic about what worked in the past may not work now. So you may need to look at traditions and try new things. Things don't have to be perfect. You can try to set aside differences. Looking at family dynamics, you know, just as they say, it may be better not to discuss politics in some families. Some families have pathology, problems of alcoholism within the family. Some memories are very painful. Children who grew up in dysfunctional homes where they had to deal with some really tough things, maybe casting a pall on some of the holidays present. Looking at the money, the budget, for decorating, entertaining, gifts, to plan ahead, maybe get help, looking at what you're going to need to do and what you can ask for help. But the biggest thing I read over and over was to be able to say no to other people's expectations. That, oh, but you look so good. Think about what you can do. And then if you can't do it, you could say, well, I can't do this, but I could do that. And be faithful to health habits. I think this is so important, that this is not the time to disrupt your routine with your meds or your diet, your exercise, or even rest and timeouts. To be able to use the support that you have, whether that be counseling or spiritual. This is, for many people, a very religious time of year, to be able to tap into those things too. To cut the unnecessary or unwanted activities. So many of us do things we really don't know why we do them anymore, and talk about sharing those concerns. You know, if it's too much to do a big holiday dinner, then maybe think about a potluck or a Chinese auction or regifting even. But get involved. For people who are feeling isolated, sometimes being able to give of themselves and realize that we are so fortunate in many ways and have much to give. When there is clinical depression, to seek help, to know the resources available from mental health providers. So I can't say too many times that adhering to therapy is so, so important, not to skip exercise, and to give gifts of time, even virtual stories. I know last birthdays I wrote for my grandchildren a story for each of them of what it was like when I was their age. So for Skye, it was when I was 17, and for Hannah, being 11. Another thing is that in our office we play Lucky Bucks, and we all kick in a few dollars, and we draw, and somebody wins the Lucky Bucks. Well, I saved mine from when I won to give someone in an envelope with the Lucky Bucks in it. You can really, for very, very little money, make someone very, very happy. Think about safety at home, and that brings us to thinking about us as nurses, how important it is to recognize that we too are under stress, because we want to be there for our patients, and sometimes this can be a difficult time for our patients. The nurse is considered an expert messenger. That's something I learned through motivational interviewing. So people will listen to their nurses, but we need to listen to ourselves more, too. We try to squeeze in just one more thing. We've got maybe less coverage. We have to deal with who works, who has time to prepare or less time to prepare for the holidays. We don't get as much time. And then there are all those parties and diet changes and whatever. So patients and professionals alike, we need to think about self-regulation, self-care, our own exercise and diet, alcohol consumption, a list of what we've lost or will miss with the year, and then just the physical pressures of holiday season, to put things into some semblance of order for ourselves.
Dottie, yes. We've got about maybe 2.5-3 more minutes.
Okay.
If you would like to sum up a little
bit. I sure will.
Okay, thank you.
So I mentioned before the gifts of the Magi, and part of that is being practical. You know, the wise men brought nice gifts, but they got there late, and there's that joke about if the wise men had been wise women, they would have gotten there on time and brought more practical gifts. And we'll get into resolutions, because I think that's a time for another talk. But if we have time to go back, I'll talk a little bit about safety. But in summary, I would say, I'm sorry, I'm shuffling through my little last papers here. that what we want to do is look at the holidays as something of a labyrinth, not a maze, that we would like to get somewhere at the end of it, but enjoy the process of getting through it. So we need to choose what's important to us and prioritize. But I think the key word is to balance. Again, to be aware of the stresses, both for the nurse, but also for our patients and their families. And I would say again the advice of to be able to reach out for help where it's needed, but to avoid the problem by halt. Don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And then to really enjoy every bit of what the holidays have to offer. So let me stop there, Lori. If we have time to go back to the safety, I will do that. Because living in this technological age, there are some things that I think people might enjoy hearing about.
Oh, I think that would be good. And thank you. Wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
I like your acronym for HALT. That's something I can remember, hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And you just bring up some good points that for the holidays, for so many people, it just creates this sense of pessimistic, a kind of apprehension or maybe an angst or maybe dread that it's a good time to develop some new holiday stretch management techniques so that we can get out of that overwhelm zone and kind of get the holiday spirit back, you know, that I think some of us may have lost, and it's just overwhelmed with the feelings of stress that they have to deal with. But the realistic, being realistic, you had brought that up, planning ahead and support, you know, caregiver, patient support, nurse support. So let's open up the lines for questions, Manny. Is there anybody in queue?